KR4GEG.
4GEG, KF4NXY, David, to you.
For NXY, KR4GEG, this is Scott. Good morning.
Morning, Scott. How you doing this morning?
Studying. I'm planning on taking my general exam today up at Shelbyville. Shelby.
Take those. That's a good idea. You take it at the Ham Fest, and if you pass it, then you, go get you a new radio, new HF radio.
Yep.
Well, yes, sir, and a little piece of advice. If you can get a new one, I would do that. Some of that stuff out in the boneyard may or may not work as good as advertised. With any used equipment, sometimes you'll wind up having to have it repaired and lined up, and you got to look at the cost of that, and new equipment from HRO or some of the others is a better option. I'm afraid nowadays there's not a whole lot of that kind of an option at your Ham Fest. A lot of your HRO and some of the others, they don't even go to the Ham Fest much anymore. They just, do all their business on the internet.
Would be cool to see demonstrations and stuff like that there.
And, it's kind of was all back in the day. It was, I like seeing the piece of equipment that I was, gonna look home and hook up for me, a description of it online. Nowadays, I kind of go wait until, some of the other guys, the FT, 991A is real popular as far as Yaesu equipment. It's small, compact, and it's a shack in a box. It runs around $1,100, $1,200, and ICOM's got something similar with the same features, and, it's all according to, whatever you're talking on now. You're familiar with that brand. I'm on a Yaesu mobile because I went with a Yaesu base that doesn't have 2 meter in it. But so, it's and it's all according to whether to also you got to consider, do I live in a HOA? And then you've got all kind of problems there.
I live in an HOA, so I haven't put up an antenna outside yet. So I got to deal with that when the time comes. So,
my friends that are in HOAs, they've gotten away with running wire antennas in the backyard. The neighbors don't even see them. Nobody complains. And as long as you're not running 1,500 watts where you're going to bleed into something of their electronics, you run a 100-watt transmitter with a tuner, you'll have a lot of fun with the wire antenna, and, just don't elaborate to your neighbors what that wire in the... I don't know why that wire was in the trees when I moved in.
That's funny. Don't mind that wire there. It's nothing.
And enough people don't know enough about radio to... infer anything from it. Now me, I'm way out in the country. I got 13 antennas up. My neighbors could care less.
About being out in the country. Nobody bothers.
And my neighbors got my back too. I mean, I got neighbors on either side of me, and if they needed me, I'd be there. And, vice versa. And, got really good neighbors out here, and pretty real happy where I'm at. I've all been in this same spot for 25 years, and You know, it's this great little area in the country. It's called Possum Kingdom.
It's funny, though, because, you know, I live in a neighborhood over here in Greer, and people would want to know their neighbors and be close and all that stuff, but nobody really knows anybody in the neighborhood.
And part of that is because kids don't get outside and play like they used to. Back when I was growing up in the 60s and there were no computers or anything, you know, kid was going to get bored to death if he stayed inside. So the whole neighborhood of kids were outside playing together. And then the adults knew each other. And I lived in Sycamore Acres. It might even still be called that way down in Lexington. And you know, it was a great neighborhood, a great way to grow up. But you know, like you say, they just don't exist anymore. You might know nowadays, you might know what your neighbor looks like if you're lucky. So, yeah, me and the wife, we lived downtown Lawrence before we moved out here, and it just got so noisy, it was driving me nuts. I had to get out of downtown. I mean, it was convenient, all the stores and everything. You know, here I'm 35 miles from anywhere. I plan my trips where I take care of two or three different things, but, you know, living in Lawrence, it didn't take me 2 minutes to get to the store, and, you know, wasn't up to me anyway. There's pluses and minuses, but speaking of Greer, my grandparents lived in a little house. There's a car dealership, a cemetery across, I think that's 29 going through there. They lived in a little house down in there, and back in the day, there wasn't nothing around there but cow pastures. And now, I go down that little road that they lived on, and there's Walmart across the road, and, you know, and one of these days, some big developer will buy that area, and that little house will be gone.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about. It's growing up so fast in Greer. I mean, they're sticking things in every little lot they can possibly find over here. It's amazing how much it's grown in just a little bit of time that I've lived in Greer.
And when I was growing up around Columbia, the urban sprawl, you know, totally unregulated, and, you know, Columbia grew out to West Columbia, and then it engulfed Casey, and then now Casey has grown just about all the way out to Lexington. And, you know, any real estate that's close to an interstate or a college, or, you know, there's something that'll draw, people down here to retire or change their occupation, or, you know, it's just growing leaps and bounds, and you know, hopefully they'll start regulating it a little better where, you know, you don't look out your window and wave at your neighbor because your houses are so close to each other.
Because, I mean, I look out my window, I see right into the neighbor's house. I mean, it's kind of creepy.
You gotta keep your curtains and your blinds closed. You know, you get up in the night, go to the restroom or something, your neighbors, you know, they know whether or not you're, you know, wearing a bathrobe or not.
I mean, there's not much expectation of privacy.
We noticed that about all the new development, housing developments I've seen getting thrown up. I mean, they're really, really nice houses, super nice, but they're on such a tiny lot. I mean, you could cut the yard with a weed eater.
Yeah. I mean, the house we moved from, I had a riding lawnmower. You couldn't use a riding lawnmower on this house that we're in now to save your life. I mean, one turn and you've done the whole yard.
Well, what kind of work do you do?
computers and servers and networking and all that kind of stuff for a living?
My wife was an electrical engineer before she retired, and I kid people and tell them I don't have to call technical support. It lives with me here.
Everybody in the family calls, and you know, they don't call unless they have a computer problem, and then that's the first words out of their mouth is, "My computer is doing blah."
That makes you feel real loved, don't it?
You know, I at least know that I'm needed.
Yeah, well then, I won't get into all of it. The peacemaker in my family, and when I was a deacon at church, the preacher said that one time. He says, "You're the diplomat and the peacemaker."
The same person in my family too. When the arguments happen and everything, I try to smooth things over and make things peaceful again. And that's a tough role. That's a tough role.
We need more peacemakers nowadays. It seems like, you know, if you watch the evening news, we need more peacemakers than we need people that's ready to grab a ball bat and start swinging or something.
Everybody's walking around with a ball bat nowadays. Some people have one in each hand. Everybody's so polarized and just ready to start swinging. It's not even funny anymore.
You know, when I was a kid, you know, seemed like things were a little bit more peaceful in the public. You know, you could, you know, I'd come up from Lexington and hook up with my, you know, when there was an old, well, I'm sure it's gone. I know it's gone, you know, right there in downtown Greer. That was back in the 70s. But anyway, you know, we didn't worry about getting mugged. I mean, you know, we parked the car wouldn't be bothered when we come back. You know, there was no crime, none whatsoever. And it's, you know, it's getting where it's, the crime is creeping out even into the small cities in South Carolina and even somewhat even into the countryside. You got people addicted to crack cocaine or something else, and you know, that's the only thing on their mind is getting money to buy more. And you know, I feel sorry for them, and you know, they need to be in rehab somewhere or something. But it's, you know, society in general just is kind of on a downward curve, or you know, it's I try to look for the silver lining. You know, I got great people at my church that I know, and you know, and that kind of stuff, and it's, you know, kind of my, you know, who I socialize with, and I'm retired, wife's retired, we got a lot of little hobbies right here at the house we do, and you know, we'll go into town and socialize with the people we know. So right now, retirement's great. I don't know how old you are, but it is something to look forward to.
For the retirement one day. It's still a ways off for me. I'm 47, so, you know, I got a ways to go. But hopefully when I get there, we'll have enough saved that we can enjoy it. So we'll see how that works out.
My wife worked for Lockheed Martin. I had a little state job. I had a little state retirement. And between the two of them, especially with hers, they matched whatever you put in there for a long time. So hers accumulated, and then when we got it out, we found a good investor, and he's got it doing stuff. So between it and Social Security, you know, we're okay. But if you, like, you know, you were saying, if you know, you're in your 40s, if you go ahead and plan for it now, you ought to be okay.
We're trying. We got some put back already, and We're trying to put back more now, so hopefully by the time that rolls around, we'll be all right, so.
How many children?
3 girls and 1 boy.
Great, that can be a good, great blessing. What are their ages?
Got one that's turning 21 in December, one that just turned 18 that's in college, and one that's a senior in high school, and one that's in middle school. The youngest is the boy.
That boy graduates high school and goes off to college or military. You and the wife are going to be empty nesters, is what they call them.
I don't know whether I'm looking forward to that or not. Kinda am, because there's a lot of drama, especially with the girls. So much drama.
That comment kind of made me smile a little bit. Yeah, I can understand that. And you know, when you do get to be empty nesters, you're not gonna need as big a house, and I can get you a little place out in the country. And when I moved out in the country, believe it or not, I looked for something on top of a hill so it'd have a good antenna height.
Thinking too, something on top of a hill, out in the country, you know, that might work. That might work real nice.
If you're kind of familiar with the Possum Kingdom, there's, you know, there's some higher pieces of ground out this way that right now is not extremely expensive because you don't have them $1 million homes being built around here just yet. So, you know, you could always find you 2 or 3 acres and go ahead and buy it. And, you know, taxes wouldn't be much on it. Just hold on to it till you get ready to build something on it.
Start looking now, planning ahead.
I got a nephew that medical laboratory technologist, and he had him a nice house over there in Simpsonville, and he's bought a place up around Lake Kiwee, I think, and he's in the process of moving up there, and then I think that'll probably be his last move for a while, because he'll be, you know, he ain't gonna be on the lake, but he's gonna be close enough. He'll do a little fishing, and you know, and he's a long way from retirement, but you know, he'll be able to do fun stuff even before he retires.
Team right there.
Cody's a real smart young man, and I married into a family of highly intelligent people. My wife, you give her a service manual on anything, and she can work on it within a week, I bet. She don't brag on herself at all. I didn't know she was that smart when I met her, but we've been married 39 years this past August. And I'm really looking forward to number 40. I'm planning on doing something really special for that. But hey, if you got the right woman, that makes all the difference in the world.
Married a couple times, but this time I really do have the right woman, and she's amazing and wonderful and everything else. And I love her to death. So, gonna be with this one for quite a while. It's wonderful.
You make a difference. My first one, I figured out right quick with her that me and her weren't going to make it, and we weren't together even a year. That's how the divorce went, you know. Well, we were together just a year anyway. You know, I could have had it annulled practically, but that's how quick I figured out I made a mistake, but didn't make no mistake with this one.
Sir, what was your name again?
With you, My name's David, and I got a little age on me. I done forgotten what your name was. Yeah, well, glad to meet you. And, and with the general, if it hasn't changed much, back when I was doing the test, the general wasn't a whole lot different than the technician. It just, you got more questions on where you can talk on the different bands, and that kind of stuff. I think with your background in computers, you'll have no problems with, with the electronics and theories and all that stuff.
I'm like mad. I got this app on my phone that's been helping me, and I've been running through practice test after practice test and passing those pretty regularly, so I feel pretty good about it. It's the same app that I used to study for my dad, so I'm hoping everything will be all right.
Yeah, and, if you want to go on the extra, I haven't taken a test for that because it's a combination of the old advanced and extra, so it's got a lot of theory on it and math and, you can sit there and use this fancy calculator, but hey, I don't have the brain cells anymore, I'm afraid, so I'm kind of dragging my heels on doing that one.
Extra. I don't know how fast I'm going to go about doing it, but I definitely want to get my general done out and get it out of the way pretty quick.
Get a whole lot of more privileges with the general. I love having my general ticket. I've talked, not all over the world, but I've talked with people in Europe and South America, and it all depends on what sun cycle you're in. That kind of rolls around about every 12 years, I think. And if you don't have that going for you, then you got gray line, like the time we're talking right now, through sun up. Once the sun starts coming up, that's a good time to try and do DX. And then when the sun go down, that's a good time to do a little DX. So, a lot of it is when you've got your spare time coincides with the skip time or DX time. Then, and an easy program to use is the one on the call sign database, QRC. That's a real easy to use, simple to use program to keep track of your contacts. Other people use Logbook of the World and different stuff, but all that'll come to you. And with your background, you might want to get into FT8. Man, you make a whole bunch of contacts doing that. I prefer to just talk to people. I haven't really gotten into the digital stuff.
Stuff interests me. I'd like to try it out and see what I could do with some of that. Like I said, I'm a computer geek, so, that stuff is very interesting to me.
And that's why I've probably been at least 10 minutes since I ID'd. Anyway, with what you know how to do, you probably take one of them little Raspberry Pis things, and, you'd have a lot of fun with it. And a really cheap option as far as looking at a waterfall, is the SDR dongle. You don't have to go in big bucks to have a lot of fun with ham radio.
Or GEG. Yeah, I have a little SDR device. It's not hooked up to but a tiny little antenna, but I've played with that some too. Haven't gotten real deep into playing with that yet, but it looks like fun and it's very interesting. So I'm going to dive deeper into that too.
With with your kind of work, you probably don't have a whole lot of spare time, and especially like you said, the drive. radios, and when you get some time, you can go in there and kick back and, you know, well, part of the slogan years ago was talk to the world or something like that.
I think it would be. I don't know that my wife understands my new hobby and what I'm trying to do and everything, but it's just so much fun. And all my friends say, now that I'm into ham radio, that, you know, that just completely solidifies my geek card.
Hurricane Helene came along and nobody had no way to communicate. If something like that happens again, you'll be the most popular guy in the county.
I'm interested in getting involved in is like races and stuff like that, so.
Well, you got races and all kind of stuff. I'm on the Greenville emergency email list. You know, you can get all kind of training as much as you want. You know, CPR, first aid, whatever. Rig you up a go bag or go box. And there was a friend of mine. He worked this repeater back there in Helene from a church up there where it got hit really bad. And he was the only source of communication in and out of that area until Elon Musk, you know, come along with the Starlink thing.
See, that's awesome that, you know, this kind of stuff can provide that. And that's one of the reasons I got into it, is because I wanted to help like that and do stuff like that, is one of my ultimate goals of doing this. So, it's exciting, and, I mean, not that I want, you know, disasters like that to come along, but I want to be able to help when they do.
A great way to kind of train yourself for it and have fun is parks on the air and summits on the air, and there's plenty of mountains and rough terrain around here, and there's state park equipment out, and you can see what works and don't work as far as your own personal equipment with making contacts. You know, there'll be people at their houses that kind of listen for people out in the countryside. And, you know, it's real world test of stuff. You know, you don't want the first time you do something like this to be, you know, when I'm in the middle of a hurricane, you know, and it's like Patrick knew, you know, how to run a net when, you know, Helene hit, and that was good that he did, because he was taking information from a lot of different places and helping people, and it, you know, it worked out pretty good.
That's incredible. I mean, people like that inspire me.
Patrick's a good one. There's a bunch of good ones around here. If you talk on this repeater much, you'll hear them. And they meet once a month at the Red Cross building in Greenville. You know, they have pretty regular club meetings and get to know some of the guys. And, you know, but, you know, like I said, you got family obligations and stuff going on, so. I haven't actually been to a meeting in a while, but they got virtual meetings. You can, you know, it's with the internet and computers and everything we got nowadays. You can stay home and still take care of a lot of stuff. Blue Ridge, I think, is what we call it. I don't know. Brain freeze this early in the morning, but they hang out here on the 610 Briars. Google, I think B-R-Y. Next time I talk to you, I'll have more contact information for you.
Website, and that's the one that I just wasn't sure if there was another one. I also saw something. There's a Greer repeater, but I've never been able to raise anybody on the Greer repeater.
Not as much activity on ham radio 2 meter as there was 25, 30 years ago. Everybody's kind of gone to the cell phone. You don't have to pass a test to talk on your cell phone, and they think that's the way to go till the towers go down. KF4NXY.
After that, yeah, when those towers go down, everybody's in a panic. KR4GEG.
You know, how are you going to call your family members like back on 9/11? It wasn't just those towers coming down, the entire country's cell phone network collapsed because everybody was trying to call a relative to see what was going on with them.
I missed your last transmission.
Back on 9/11, not only did the towers in New York City come down, a lot of your cell phone communications didn't work. We were on vacation and tried to call, family members, and it was just, it was overloaded, so it collapsed. And, it just doesn't take a whole lot to have communications go away, and it's ham radio is a real good backup. Anyway, I imagine you probably, it's the weekend and got some things to set up for Labor Day, so I'll let you go. I've really enjoyed talking to you this morning. There's usually guys in here going to work from about 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning, and there's some activity around lunch. 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and you probably know about the 9 o'clock net at night. So, you have a great day, and I hope to talk to you again. This is David Kilo Foxtrot 4 November X-ray Yankee, and I'll be clear on your final.
David, yeah, I gotta leave here shortly. I'm heading up to the Overcomers Center on Pleasantburg. I got to every Saturday morning. I help host a church service for the recovering addicts there, and that's coming up here at 6 a.m. So I gotta get ready and leave for that. So I'll be heading out to that real shortly. It has been great talking to you, David, and hope to catch you again soon. This is Scott and Kilo Romeo 4 Golf Echo Golf signing off.